She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Hello out there from the beautiful wilds of Buffalo, New York. I'm here this weekend getting ready to start my annual visits at the Hearthstone through Evolving Essence. So if you are anywhere near Western New York this weekend and feel like hanging out with me, come on and do it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Hearthstone. So it is the official past life party for January. In case you guys don't know how this works, if we have anybody that's new, past lives have been my specialty for many years. I did them in Robert Schwartz's two books, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. And they happen to be things that I find a great deal of fun. I see them very much like a movie. They run in my head, and so I get a fair amount of detail. So once a month, I open up the phone lines and also check for emails, and I have several tonight, for people who have questions about their past lives. Now, if you want to call in, we want to hear from you. But don't just say, so who was I? Because you were 1,000 people. Everybody has hundreds and hundreds of past lives. If you think you can learn everything you need to learn in one life or two or three, honey, not even close. So what I'll need you to do is come up with something like a phobia. Why am I afraid of wet hair in my face was one that I loved a long time ago. People say, why am I afraid of water? Why am I afraid of thunderstorms? Things like that. Or an obsession. I've always had this thing for collecting Victorian dolls. Or it's so important that I always have food in the house. I panic when anything, you know, is even close to running out. Or if you have a place you've always wanted to live, you know, my background is Scots-Irish. Why am I drawn to Serbo-Croatia? Or you've got a relationship that you're curious about, and we've got a couple of those tonight. That's the kind of thing that we're looking to answer. So, if you want to join us, formulate your past life question and call 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. So let's see where we're going to start tonight. We've got a letter from Kim. Kim is from upstate New York. Kim says, as an infant, toddler, child, adolescent, etc., I have had a tremendous aversion to medical people. As a young child, I would fight them like a Tasmanian devil. It literally took 4 to 5 nurses to hold me down to give me a shot. I once kicked a dentist in the groin. he refused to work on me. When I was 17, I totaled my car and have no memory of the accident. I was nearly unconscious. However, I'm told when the ambulance came, I became so violent toward them that they had to handcuff me and strap me down to transport me to the hospital, and the doctor was refusing to stitch me up and set my shoulder until my mother convinced them that she could calm me down. As an adult, I don't go crazy on them, but I have a very deep distrust of the medical establishment in general. I truly feel this stems from something in a past life. Well, yes, Kim, it does. one of the first things that I got for you was concentration camp, where I don't know that it was with Joseph Mengele, who was the angel of death. He was the Nazi doctor who was famous for performing horrific experiments on people. But I do get a sense that there was someone who might have admired what he was doing and wanted to use people to practice on. And so, for instance, your leg might be deliberately broken, and then they drag you in, and this very clumsy guy would set it. So you knew in that life, anything in any kind of a medical situation, you know, you might get out of there alive, you might not. And the life I got for you before that, I don't know how much you know about the suffragette movement in the late 19th, early 20th century, especially in the UK, in England. Very often when women were arrested for their suffragette parades or whatever, you know, disturbing the peace, however they the authorities chose to see it, the women would go on hunger strikes. And they were force-fed. If you can imagine having a tube shoved down your throat and food poured in to force you to eat. Now, this is not like when they put a ventilator tube down your throat. It doesn't go that far. But they weren't very careful about how they did it. And very often, women would get food in the lungs. They would choke. They would suffocate. And that is how you died. And this was all done in a medical situation with white-coated doctors and their nurse helpers and whatever. So you have not been dealt well with at the hands of the medical establishment for at least two recent lives. It is probably one of the reasons that you also chose to become a shamanic worker this lifetime, because you knew there had to be other answers out there. So I'm glad that you have managed to ratchet down your distrust so that you're not kneeing people in the groin anymore. Frankly, one of the things that I would suggest, because I ain't crazy about doctors either, find someone who does integrative medicine. Integrative medicine is a belt and suspenders sort of thing, in that, yes, they may do some allopathic stuff, but they also use other methodologies. I will always hold up as the prime example my own wonderful physician, Ron Stram, in Albany, New York, who runs the Stram Center for Integrative Medicine. His URL is Stram, S-T-R-A-M, stramcenter.com. If anybody listening wants to see what a really good integrative medical practice is like, so that if you're not in Albany, you can look for it in your area, you could do better than Ron Stram. So I would recommend that. And for Kim, I would recommend that you find a doctor who understands it isn't just pills, potions, and prodding. Okay? I hope that helps. We got another conversation with Trisha in Pennsylvania, who has a terrible travel phobia. She has had it for many years. She has trouble being in traffic. She has trouble driving anywhere, going anywhere, and this only happened in her 30s. And Trisha, one of the things that I see, I'm literally going to Paris with this one, and we're looking at Paris in, must be the 20s or the 30s. And what I'm seeing is your husband was one of the French taxi drivers, and often you would go out with him because at least that way you knew you could run certain errands, do certain things, and you guys always got in an argument. I don't know why you kept going, but there was a point where he had three accidents within a year. All of them were when you were arguing with him. And at one point yet he would not refuse to take you in the cab. But he did look at you and say, if I ever die in an accident, it's all your fault. And I will come haunt you. Now, this may have been Gallic hyperbole. But 3 months later, He did die. It was his fault. He was drunk. But at that point, you were afraid to go anywhere in any kind of a conveyance because you were convinced that either you would die too in retribution or he would be in there haunting you. And you frankly went a little crazy with it. So realize you're not going to do the same thing this time. You are not responsible for anybody's accidents. You can travel safely and no one is going to haunt you. So I would really hope that you find a way to avoid boxing yourself in like that. The world is a very great place with lots of interesting things to do. And you have a lot to do that isn't right in your tiny little town in Pennsylvania. So remember, you're safe. You're not going to get in an accident. You're not going to die in an accident. It's not scheduled. See what you can do to break this travel taboo. Again, if you're just joining us, it's Corby Midlight on Empower Readings. It's the Past Life Party this week. If you want to join us, it's 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. All right, I got an email from Asia, which was very cool this week, from people we'll call Mimi and Josh. We used to go out 15 years ago, and we both still support and care for each other very much. I never felt such a strong connection to anyone in my life. We both share a similar background. We're both part American. We were both born here in Asia, raised here and educated in the U.S. and came back. And I felt there must be some reason to feel strongly about each other. What I'm getting particularly with you, Mimi, is I'm going right back to the American Civil War. And this is an Underground Railroad situation. Now, I don't know if you know about the Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad was called such because it was a string of safe houses and anti-slavery people from both South and North who, if a slave wanted to make a break for freedom, they would try to get them out. A lot of Quakers in Philadelphia helped with that. I think that Boston may have been the end of the line for it when they were really free. But what I'm seeing, one of you is black, one of you is white. Let me see if I can get from upstairs. You were white. You were the, if you will, Philadelphia Quaker. He was the runaway slave, but extremely bright. And he was going to go all the way to Boston originally. But the two of you recognized kindred souls, even though your backgrounds were so different. And so he ended up staying in Philadelphia. You got him work with a blacksmith. You did everything you could to protect him, to make sure that you got him forged freedom papers. You did whatever you could so that he could not be trapped and sent back to the South. Josh became very instrumental in working the Underground Railroad with you in Philly. He would be able to get through to runaway slaves who were terrified of any white and who didn't understand how they had to act, what they had to do in order to really get all the way to freedom. When you were sick in the 1870s, you had what they then called consumption. We call it tuberculosis. And you were dying. He gave up his job. At that point, he owned a little blacksmith shop himself and simply moved in to help you in your last couple of years. So just as then, your circumstances were such that you never could have gotten married. It was just the recognition of kindred spirits and people who had each other's back. You are in that situation now. The fact that each of you is part American and part something else kind of reflects that one black, one white situation during the Civil War. But this is a relationship that I think could really stand pretty much any test you threw at it. I have no idea which one of you is the leader this time, as Mimi, you were the leader in the 19th century. But remember that both of you work together well and can do a good work, capital GW. Do something to make a difference for others in this life as well. I would not be surprised if I ever did a full soul plan session for the two of you, that I would find many, many, many lives where you had worked together, solved problems together, had each other's back in war. I'll just wrap this up with saying that feeling this kind of relationship when I read what you had to say gives me a great deal of warmth. That's one of the reasons, folks, that there is a value in looking at past lives. It is not just for amusement. It is not just to say, you know, my favorite one is, oh, I must have been Anne Boleyn because I can't wear turtlenecks. Oh, please. I don't necessarily find famous people all the time. I kind of have an agreement with my guides that I'm not going to pick up a famous life for you unless it's really, really, really important. Why? For the same reason I don't encourage looking for past lives just for giggles and grins. You get so wrapped up in who you were that you're not spending time living this life. And this life is where you're learning things this time. Someone called me recently, very afraid. What do you mean that we can be up there and we can plan to murder someone? I'm afraid to go out of the house now because what if I'm one of those bad people? I hope I got across to her that, for one thing, she did not read the entire book for Your Soul's Plan. She just read little bits. So she didn't have the background. Remember that as we look at past lives and karma, there is no carrot and stick. It's not good karma, bad karma. You know, you're a terrible person, so we're going to do lots of stuff for you or to you. That's a very kindergarten way of looking at it. All of our souls are fine, wonderful, loving souls. What we come down to do, we agree to do it for our lessons, for other lessons. And it can be for things like healing. It can be for things like contrast. Well, if I want to learn about abundance, I have to be rich and I have to be poor. I have to know how to use money and I have to waste it. I have to really get a feel for what this is about. Or it's in service. Any one of us who's doing this light worker work, this is service. Anyone who devotes their life to health care, home health aid, they came down to learn service as well. Sometimes it is simply unbalanced energy. If you have been in several lives where you have treated women badly, not necessarily beaten them, but not valued them, not understood them, treated them as property, then you need to have some lives where Either the women in your life pretty much run you, or maybe you even come back as a woman and you are given the same difficulties that you handed out as a guy. This is one of the situations, this last, that happened with me. We talk about it in your soul's plan in the physical illness chapter. I was a guy who really didn't understand how to deal with women very well. And most of my male lives, yeah, I might have gotten married, probably had mistresses, but did not value them as full partners. So the female lives I lead are usually the ones where I have the most difficulty with men, with my role in the world. And I learned some of my toughest lessons then. Hopefully, this life has been such a case of the examined life that I'm not going to have to go through that for the next couple. I don't usually run into more than two female lives back to back, and I know my last one was female, and so is this one. So I'll probably flip over to male life next time. And I hope that I'm going to remember some of the things that I learned this time and can put them into active play with whoever I decide to be. Number here is 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. This is the monthly past life party. And it's not a party unless you call. Yes, I've got some more emails in, but it's so much fun when I get to play with you. So if you can, give us a call. You do not have to give us your full name. All you have to do is say, hi, I'm Mary from Brooklyn, and here's my question. And remember, it should be a phobia, what you're scared of and why. It should be an obsession. Can you tell me why I really am so into comic books, or I want to be a lifeguard, or whatever it is. If there's someplace you've always wanted to live, give us that. Or if there is a relationship like the last one we talked about that you'd really like to explore. And I'm checking with my engineer. We've just got a couple of minutes to break. I want to spend some time on the next live, so let me just fill in for you here. If you want to do a past life reading with me, you can reach me on Facebook, Fire Through Spirit, or Corby Midline. You can reach me on my own website, firethroughspirit.com, or you can always reach me at 877-321-CORBY. That's 877-321-2762. All right, we're going to go to break at this point. We are on Empower Radios. This is Empower Readings and the January Past Life Party with Corby Mitlide. More of who you were before you are your person now when we get back from break.
Lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Idina Menzel. My music has helped me become a Tony Award-winning singer and songwriter. This is Mahmuda Akhtar. Her training has helped Mahmuda become the local health worker for her village in Bangladesh. Every day, she helps the children in her community survive some of the leading causes of child mortality worldwide. The only reward that Mahmuda gets for her work is the sound of healthy children. It's music to her ears. When you help local health workers like Mahmuda, you help so many children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org. Find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. Your calls are next at 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Empower Readings on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back. We are at Empower Readings. We're doing our past life party. This is Corby Mitlide. And if you're just joining us, we need you to call with questions on who you were before you were who you are now. 248-809-3475 is the number. We've got a couple of things here. One of them is a very simple question. And this is from Cheryl. She says, why do I try so hard to please my daughter, even though she left me almost 4 years ago and hasn't spoken to me in 6 months? This is a relationship, Cheryl, that was a parent-child reversal in another life. And this one I see in the 16th century. This is one where your daughter was your mother, and you were her son, and you didn't go into the family business. You had another calling. You wanted to do theater. So think about Shakespeare and the Globe Theater and all of that kind of stuff. There were traveling minstrels. There were traveling players. And you followed your heart and always wanted your family to be proud of what you did because you were really very good. And you lived in a large enough city. I'm getting the sense it may have been York. That when you would come back into town, you'd try and see your parents, your mom, you know, come see what I'm doing. And the door was always slammed in your face. You were cursed. About 5 years after you left to do this, you came back to find that your mother was dead. Everybody blamed you because she died of a broken heart. So this time, you're feeling that I can't let you go without making this connection. Realize you're not going to go through the same thing. That her life is her life and yours is yours. It's a very different time than the 16th century. So the best thing you can do for her and yourself, bless her, love her, wish her well, but let go of the desperate neediness. That's what's so vital. Okay. Got a couple that just came in. Here's one. Why do I feel sad sometimes, overwhelmingly so, when I think of the Scottish Highlands? And this is from a girl named Jamie. Jamie, I don't think that you were at, you know, the Battle of Culloden. It's not so much the Scottish Highlands per se, but I do have a sense that you lived in the northern area of England. You loved someone, and I'm actually seeing this probably, I'm seeing it in modern times, so this may have been 19-teens, 1920s, but I'm not seeing World War I. So, all right, cloche hat, long straight dresses. Let's say this is about 1921-22. The sense I'm getting was that the relationship was disapproved of by the sets of parents. And it was a very short-lived relationship with this guy, you know, maybe a year, year and a half at most. And you were very young, but it was your first love. And he had to choose between staying with you and going back to the land he loved, and the land won. And that was something you could not understand. So if you think of or view the Scottish Highlands, it's not that you were from there, but there is a sense that that's where your happiness went. And if only you could find a way to get back, maybe you would find this this lost love, whether it is this time in a different incarnation, or just making sense out of the past life miss that you had. Now, getting a couple coming in. Let's see. Not sure if we're getting calls or not, because I'm getting a couple of people who say, I'm going to call in and then give me their stuff. And I want to make sure that if you're actually calling in, you and I get to talk on the air. Okay, so we have Kathy on the line. Kathy, you with us?
Yes, I am here.
Hey, girl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Finally.
Okay. Yes, finally. I know you've tried for several times. All right, so you write me about feeling disconnected and unsettled in this life and time period. Can you explain to me what you mean by unsettled, what it feels like?
Like I don't belong here. Like, it's not my time period. Like, should have been born 100 years ago. Like, this is not my time.
Okay. Now, interestingly, Kath, while it may be a past life thing, It's also, and you and I may have talked about this, there is a sense of other. And sometimes it's not that it's not the right time period, but there's a part of you that has been elsewhere. All right. Writing for ElfQuest the way I did for years, we would recognize the writer and I, what we called other. And these were, I call them halflings. They're human in a human body, but there is a part of them that has maybe done some travel in other worlds, has a little elemental or fairy in the soul, something like that. Literal half wings. There are hybrids like that, and they never feel quite right here. So let me ask you this. Do you gravitate more toward the word human or the word other?
Oh, other, I suspect.
Okay. So it's not so much when you lived, but the fact that you probably feel like a foreign exchange student.
Well, that just, that actually was very comforting for some reason.
What? The idea that you're a foreign exchange student?
What you just said, yeah. That was just felt like a warm,
I know,
fuzzy.
It's, there you go. Most times when I tell people, you know, I want you to close your eyes, give me, you know, immediately what you resonate to, human or other. If they have to spend some time thinking about it, then 95% of the time they're human. If they immediately go, oh, other, then that's the proof.
That was very nice. It just felt like a little firefly for a moment.
Yep. Look, nice. Earth School is one of the toughest classrooms.
It's just so harsh. It's very harsh.
Mm-hmm.
It really is very harsh. It's an unkind place.
If you have come down before, and I sense that you have, again, this is probably somewhere in Europe.
I feel very drawn to Wales for some reason. I feel like I need to go to Wales, to Western Wales. I don't know why. I've never been there, but it's just calling to me.
Well, think about it. In Wales, you've got the whole Arthurian thing, Wales, Cornwall, that whole area.
I don't know why. It's just calling to me.
Well, what I'm saying is that's probably where you lived when you were human the last time. And I am seeing you in very, lightweight gossamer dresses, lightweight gossamer brain, which is not to say you were stupid, but you weren't happy here. And looking at the Empire waist, I'm seeing probably somewhere 1820, 30s, somewhere in there. And you were blonde, reedy, frail. You got married, but I don't believe you ever had children. And it was as if, you know, you married someone who was about 25 years older than you were, so he'd already had his kids. He didn't need more kids. But it was as if he had acquired an exquisite porcelain doll. And he was very good to you and very sweet and very kind, but it wasn't really a marriage. Uh-huh. Because everybody recognized you were not going to be able to handle the real world very well. It's why your parents, who were relatively well off, sheltered you, made this marriage, someone who wouldn't put a lot of pressure on you.
So I was cared for in that life. So this is the time I'm not to be cared for.
Look, we have to learn these things, Kath. We have to learn these things.
Just
because you're not cared for in this lifetime doesn't mean you don't deserve. But it means, remember what I said about contrast? Mm. In order to understand the service aspect, in order to understand what it's like in this very harsh classroom, you can't just learn it in the ivory tower with cliff notes and somebody else taking the test for you. You got to get down there with those of us that are completely human, and we've been doing this for a long time. Okay? I mean, I am 100% human, and I know it. But I am also what I call an ambassador, in that other doesn't scare me. I don't want to be other. It's just I recognize those with other in them as beings come down here, and I try to, as an ambassador, make it comfortable for them. But I don't fix it for them. That they must do. Otherwise, you're not learning what you came to learn. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So, does that make sense to you as to why you always feel kind of not quite here?
It's putting it more in perspective.
Good. That's all we try to do.
Thank you,
all right, my dear. Was a pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
It was a pleasure talking to you again. Thanks.
Okay. Got one here. Take care. All right, got another one coming in here. My name is Janine. I have problems with procrastination. This is a Janine. I think that she's from Atlanta. Why do I have these troubles with trying to sabotage myself? Is there a past life connection with procrastination? The sense I'm getting, I'm seeing you at a large table, and you've got a lot of people arguing around you. And it was as if you had to, all right, I'm also hearing cholera, I'm hearing disease. So it's, you were someone that had to make some decisions, who could get medical help, who couldn't, who could be taken out of town and gotten away from the disease area, who couldn't. It's as if you were the mayor of a town or some kind of a you know, government controlling situation. And you were too soft-hearted to do it. You shouldn't have been doing it, babe, because you couldn't make any decisions. And so your whole thing was to say, we don't have all the answers yet. We don't have all the answers yet. Or the wagons aren't here. The wagons aren't here. And as a result, more people died, because it was almost like, you thought, well, if I can't save everyone, I don't want to save anyone. And you can't do it that way. So what I'm telling you for this time is trust that a decision that you make will end up being the right one, whether you can see it or not. You are not in charge of other, you know, taking care of other people. You have to look at what you are assigned to do and do it to the best of your ability. You say, it's as if I'm trying to sabotage myself and bring myself trouble, never finishing things on time. It's all about being afraid to make the wrong decision. There are no failures. There are rerouted opportunities. There are learning things. Trust me, in my life, I had a lot of what some people would call failures. I will call them simply a tougher way to learn, but I learned. Nothing of what I did ruined me or ruined anyone else. It was just a different way to learn. So when we say to ourselves, what do I think would happen if I simply went ahead and did this? We can usually get through our fears, get through our concerns, and realize the only reason we're putting it off is we're afraid to do it wrong, we're afraid to fail. And you can't fail. Just not possible. Try that for at least a month. What do I think would happen if I couldn't fail? And I know that I could do this right, even if it's simply things like cleaning out your closets. And see if giving yourself permission to not do it perfectly loosens it up a little bit for you. I think it might. All right. This is Virginia from New Hampshire. 40 years ago, I was walking from my dorm to a night class, and I saw a light switch on in the park next to me. I thought it must be hanging from a tree. It was shining on a man in a chair. Then someone approached from the shadows and punched him. I felt the blow, even to feeling my teeth break, and the light went out. I was freaked, went over and checked the grass, but there was nothing there. I've always wondered about that vision hallucination, whether it was a past life moment or just a glimpse of something. I get the feeling I was a resistance fighter and they were Nazis, but I've always been suspicious that that comes from watching old war movies, Hogan's Heroes, etc. It seems as though I really saw it at the time. Why would something like that pop in for no apparent reason? What is an experience like that for? I've been curious about it for 40 years. All right. It's very possible part of it was resistance fighter, but not Nazis. Not Nazis. This was back, probably contemporary with Oscar Wilde. And the resistance fighter was "You Were Gay." And we're not as good at hiding it outside the demimonde as you might have been. And you had lived with a man for decades. He faked being an invalid so that you can be with him. And when he died, it was found out that the invalid physician he always did was a fake. And so his family sent these people to beat you into a pulp so that you would never do this horrible thing to anyone else. So in that sense, you were a resistance fighter, but in a much different war than you thought. We've got a call, I think, Patty from Reading, Pennsylvania. Is Patty with us? I'm asking my engineer here.
Yes.
Hey, girl, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. How about you?
Okay. So what is your question?
Well, how can I tell, you know, like what part of like, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but what part of the lessons and things I'm going through today are past life stuff versus just something like that I have to learn today for whatever's going on? I think about that a lot.
Well, the most important thing is learn it first. Learn it first. Mm-hmm. As I said, past lives are interesting, but they are not absolutely necessary to make changes in our lives. Okay? Mm-hmm. If there is something you keep tripping up against or that is very weird, remember I used that thing about why a woman asked me when I was teaching at Lilydale, why do I panic when there's wet hair in my face? Now that is something that is so out of the ordinary, there's probably a past life thing. Someone else wrote me in with one. She said, I am really terrified of snakes. Why am I scared of snakes? And I said to her, well, you know what? I am too. So I'm not going to tackle that question because some of my own stuff might bleed through. Some things are simply things that people are scared of. Could it be that she and I were bitten by a snake in a past life? Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Could it be that we read something as children that made snakes really scary, or we took in all of the horrible stories that people tell about snakes? Maybe. My husband, no problem with snakes. He doesn't like looking at insects up close where you can see their faces and their mouths and their eyes. Does it mean that, like the guy in The Fly, he was attacked by giant bugs? No, it doesn't. It's just what he finds unpleasant. So the key is, what is it, is there something that you think is so unusual and it constantly stops you that it has to be a past life? Do you have an example for me?
Other than like being fully myself a lot of the time, you know what I mean? I have people around me that seem to accept, but there's a part of me that never feels very safe.
When you say you don't feel very safe, what do you mean?
Yeah, being totally me, saying exactly what I want to, being sexually oriented the way I am, the whole thing, you know, the gay issue, and that doesn't make any sense as to why I'm not more comfortable with myself.
Well, a past life might hold an answer, but what you might want to do is get a past life regression. That's where a hypnotherapist, licensed, they're experienced, brings you back to look at a past life and see if maybe that's where your situation is. All right? We're almost at close, so I really don't have a chance to look into yours this week. If you want to call back for the next past life party, you're more than welcome to. That's one thing that I want to tell people at the start, is there's a difference between retrieval and regression. Retrieval is what I do here, where you give me a situation and I pick up something for you. Regression is if you want to go back and really viscerally understand it and deal with it yourself. And that you absolutely need to find someone who's a certified hypnotherapist to do. All right. It's been a good show. This has been a fun one too. Next week we're going to have Iyena back. She is a wonderful shaman. And we're going to be talking about some pretty heavy stuff, so I think you don't want to miss it. If you, again, want to look for me when I'm not on the air, you can find me on Facebook, Corby Mitlide and Fire Through Spirit. You can find my website, firethroughspirit.com, or you can get to me at 877-321-CORBY. That's 877-321-2672. So, thanks so much to my engineer. And Susan, I'm sorry we didn't get to you this time, but we will make an attempt on the next one. I'll put you right there. For the rest of you, have a fabulous, fabulous week. And we will see you back here at Empower Readings next Thursday. Until then, remember our slogan, cross your bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Because that's where all your answers are. See you next week.